I love in that second verse where it says, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. His every promise is enough for every step I take. I love that. This morning, I think we'll take a short break this week from our series we're doing. I had thought about just going ahead and continuing on with that, but I got looking at a couple of different verses and decided to just take the week and look at some things related to thankfulness and Thanksgiving. And then we'll, if the Lord directs, we'll go back to our other series after this Sunday. So let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for this morning and for this time together. Lord, I thank you that your every promise is enough for every day, for every moment, for everything we need. That your presence is enough. That your grace is sufficient for every trial, every difficulty, every loneliness, every heartache. Lord, that your grace is sufficient. It's enough. That you are enough. Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts would be raised in thankfulness to you for all of your blessings on us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning just looking at a couple of different passages. I especially love the Psalms, the heart of praise and thanksgiving. Thankfulness, always so beautiful, always such a good reminder, such a good challenge, especially if you look at at the beginning of many of those Psalms and see who wrote them and when they wrote them, and you realize, yeah, this wasn't written in a bed of roses. This was written in difficulties and hardships. And I love how so many of the Psalms will begin with, especially David's Psalms, they'll begin with him pouring out his heart, just begging God for grace and strength and expressing his need and his troubles and his hardship. And by the end of the psalm, he's totally switched and he's just thanking God and praising God for all the things that God's already done for him and simply just for who God is. But I want to look this morning at thankfulness. Thanksgiving, thanks, what it is. And we'll just start first in Psalm 100. We'll read a few verses there. In Psalm 100, beginning with verse 4, he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation." And these truths, they're absolutes. Even if at any given moment along the way, it doesn't always feel like it. Even if at any given moment along the way, I can't see my way forward, I can't see how he's working everything together for the good of those who love him, for my good, for my benefit, for the advancement of his kingdom. Yet, these facts, these truths, they're factual. They're always true. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. If it weren't, we would be consumed. We're told that in another place. If it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. His mercy is everlasting. It says he is good. He is good. And his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. What was true for the saints of God thousands of years ago is still true for us. We are serving a God who doesn't change. Yesterday, today, and forever, He's the same. His character is consistent. He's good. He's merciful. At one place in Hebrews, it talks about that He's pitiful. He has pity on us. As a parent would pity their little one who's having difficulties and hardship, who's hurt, who's crying. When you see a little one get hurt, the initial response of a loving parent, unless it's obviously, you know, that they're throwing a fit over nothing, the initial response of a loving parent is, it's going to be okay, it's all right, I'm here. They're piteous. They pity the little one. They care. That's how God is to us. He pities us. And His truth and His character, it endures to all generations. Who He was yesterday, who He was for Noah, as we've been looking at these patriarchs and looking at their patience and their dependence on God, who He was for them, He is for us. Constant. A rock. A foundation that we can hang on to. And He will not let us down. He will not change. He will not be just all of a sudden, oh well, you know, you thought you knew what God was wanting. You read the word and you understood what God was wanting, but now He changed His mind. Now He doesn't want that anymore. No, it's going to be the same. His truth endures to all generations. His character, His mercy is everlasting. Who He is today is who He will be tomorrow. Who He was yesterday is who He will be today. And so that, in many times, we can encourage and strengthen our hearts simply by calling to memory what He's done for us in the past and bringing those things again into our memory by thanksgiving, because I remind myself the things He's done for me in the past. Well, guess what? If God's word is true that He doesn't change, then His love He's poured out for me in the past is going to be the things that are going to characterize the things that He does in future and today, right now. In these hardships and these trials I'm facing right this moment, He's still the God He was last week when He delivered incredibly. He's still the God who told Jehoshaphat, you don't need to fight in this battle. Go out praising and watch what I'm going to do for you. And He defeated the enemies without them even having to raise a sword. He's still the God who can calm the sea with one simple word, peace, be still. He's still the God who has the power to conquer death and rise from the grave. He's still the same God who can speak and the universe comes into existence. He's still the same God who can create infinity with a word. He's still the same. As we open our hearts and remind our hearts of who He is and bring those things that He's done for us and His character into focus again by thanksgiving, it strengthens us for today and for tomorrow by remembering who He was, because He's eternal. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Let's skip down a few chapters to Psalm 105 and read the first five verses. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Take ye, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Why? Again, He's the same. He's the same. If you remember what He's done, the marvelous works He's done, the judgments of His mouth, how He's always consistent, how He's always righteous and holy, that can give you courage and strength to go on. He says, glory in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And then He turns around and says, hey, you be one of those. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Talk of His wondrous works. Make known His deeds among the people. As we express thankfulness for who God is and what He's done, those around us hear and go, oh, that's the kind of a God you serve? I just always kind of pictured Him as, you know, a big meanie up there waiting with a club to hit me over the head if I did something wrong. But how do they realize and see that He's not that kind of a God? Largely through our telling who He is and what He's done for us. His character. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, this is a very commonly quoted section. But he says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for you and I. We gain strength to run this race by bringing to remembrance and thanking God for the things He's done. We gender strength in our brothers and sisters to be able to run the race by expressing what God's done for us. Well, if God would do that for him, He would do that for me. When I hear and I read and I see and I take in the things that God has done for His people down through the ages and for those that I know, wow, God's still like that. God's still doing those things. Well, if He can do that, He can handle my problems too. And it gives grace and strength to run this race. Now, all through the Old and New Testament, we see a certain phrase, and that is the sacrifice of thanks, or the sacrifice of praise, because it's not always easy. It's not our knee-jerk reaction. When you're having difficulty and hardship and trouble, it's not the knee-jerk reaction to go, wow, I am so thankful right now. That's not our natural inclination. And so, all through the Old Testament and the New, we see this term, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By him, by his grace, by the strength and the power he gives, and by simply remembering who he is, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And then he clarifies what he means by that. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Yeah, sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes it takes a lot of just taking a deep breath and saying, okay, God, I give this to you. To be able to set the difficulties and the things that you're all tied up in knots about aside and say, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for my brother or my sister that, you know, did something special for me yesterday. Or thank you that I have breath in my lungs. Thank you that the sun rose this morning. Thank you that I had something to eat for breakfast. Thank you that I'm not freezing to death. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the grace that reached down and saved even a worm like me. How often? Continually. Psalm 116, verse 17, he says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. We are given a pattern throughout the Old and New Testament of combining praise and requests, combining thanks for what God's done with our requests for what we want Him to do now, because it will stir up in us faith to believe for the things that we're asking for. It's interesting as you look back through the stories of the Old Testament of these patriarchs, and when they were in dire need and they would come to this moment and they're praying and pouring out their heart to God, begging for help because it's a moment of desperation and there's no other recourse. Many times you see them starting by reminding themselves and thanking God of the things He's already done for His people leading up until now. And we are told again and again throughout Scripture to make our requests known with thanksgiving, to bring our requests and our praises together. That it's not all just, this helps to get rid of the whininess that we can have, right? If we're coming and we're saying, God, thank you for all you've already done for me, and this is my need. It's pretty hard to be all whiny and just consumed by the difficulties that you're facing if you're also intentionally, consciously saying, thank you, God, for all that you've already done for me. You can't really be thankful and complain very well at the same time. You can present requests and be thankful at the same time, but you can't be complaining and fretful and worrying and all tied up in knots and at the same time be saying, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me. Thank you for who you are. It's interesting if you look back in the Old Testament and all down through, there was actually a particular type of sacrifice that was set out and laid out in Leviticus by God for the specific purpose of being a thank offering, a sacrifice of thanks. This wasn't something that was commanded that they had to do, but something that anyone who wanted to express their thanks to God, this is a way that they could do that, that was laid out for them, was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It was expected that it was going to cost you something. It was expected that it was going to take some effort on your part. But it was a way to express back to God your gratefulness for His blessings in your life. So let's look a little more at what are the results of thanksgiving. What are the results of lifting your heart in thanks to God? In Psalm 69, verse 30, he says, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. When you and I express thanks to God for what He has done and who He is, it makes Him appear bigger in our mind and in our heart. He says, I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I'm going to turn a magnifying glass onto Him so I can see more detail of who He is and so that I can see a bigger, broader picture of who He is and what He does and how His character is by this tool of thanksgiving. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. And this isn't just for us. It also causes those around us to be able to see more who he is, to be able to see more detail, more clearly, more precisely who this God is that we speak of and that we serve. By turning this magnifying glass of thanksgiving onto the God that we serve. Thanksgiving is a great magnifier. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Let's look at another result of thanksgiving. He says here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." How does he say that we are abounding in the truth that we're taught? How does he say that we're abounding in being established in the faith? How does he say that we're abounding in being built up in him? With thanksgiving. It edifies and strengthens and builds up our character and our hearts and our spirits. It establishes us in the faith. We become more deeply rooted and grounded in him. Our hearts become more closely knit to him because, oh yeah, he really has been good to me. Oh yeah, he really is amazing. I really can trust him. He really is worthy of my love. Abounding in all of these things by thanksgiving. It's amazing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14 through 15 has a similar kind of a concept. He says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for our sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Or another word there would be abound. So through thanksgiving, he says this abundant grace gets spread to more people. This abundant grace gets spread to more people. It abounds to the glory of God through thanksgiving. Through the thanksgiving of many, it may redound to the glory of God. It spreads by thanksgiving. In Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, this I quoted earlier, part of this, but he says, "Be careful for nothing." That means don't be fretful or worried about things. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Here we have a beautiful, beautiful result of thanksgiving. Bringing our requests, bringing our supplications, bringing our prayers, the gut-wrenching hardships that we face sometimes, bring those, but bring them with thanksgiving. What's the result of that? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep or guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. The peace of God that's more than we can even comprehend or understand. It guards and keeps our heart and mind through Jesus Christ when we bring our requests with thanksgiving. The world around us and every human heart is seeking for peace. They're seeking for peace. Everyone wants peace. We have peace through God. We have peace through Christ with God. And one of the ways specifically that that peace permeates our being is through thanksgiving. Through thanksgiving to God and reminding our own hearts and our own selves of all that He's done for us and who He is. When should we thank Him? When should we thank Him? Psalm 92 verse 1 and 2 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night." When should we praise Him? Well, at least every morning and every night. He says that's a good thing. He says it's a really good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name and to show forth His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness every night. It's interesting if you look in Chronicles when a lot of the things of how the temple was going to run, at least for sure under the reign of David, were being set up. We see that one of the key responsibilities of a Levite in 1 Chronicles 23:30 is to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. That was one of their key responsibilities. They were supposed to prepare the showbread. They were supposed to offer sacrifices. They were supposed to keep things clean. They were supposed to help the sons of Aaron and all of these different things. But one of their key responsibilities right along with all of that was that they had the responsibility. It was important that they stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord and likewise at even. That was part of their responsibility. We now are made priests of God. And that's part of our responsibility to stand and to bring thanksgiving and praise to God every morning and every evening and all throughout. Amen. As we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, we already looked at it, but by Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. We are called, brothers and sisters, to live a lifestyle of praising and thanking God. We are called to a thankful lifestyle. Not once a year, when Thanksgiving comes around, not just Sunday morning when we specifically stop and say, all right, what is everyone thankful for? But every day, continually, God, thank You. God, thank You. When something goes right, thank You, Lord. When something goes wrong, thank You, Lord, and help me. when everything comes along, we're supposed to respond with thankfulness every step along the way. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. But we're supposed to be lifting our hearts in this way continually. This is the lifestyle God wants from His people. A lifestyle of thanksgiving, of thankfulness, of reminding ourselves and each other who He is, of telling other people and talking about how good God is. That should be one of our main topics of conversation is, man, do you know how good God is? I'd like to tell you if you don't. Do you know how good He's been to me this week? Let me tell you. Do you know how good He's been all down through the ages to all of His people? Do you know His mercy? And His faithfulness, and His tenderness, and His pity. If you don't, let me tell you. If you do, let me tell you. Continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you, Father, for your word and for just your tender, tender care for us. Lord, thank you for your grace that reached down even to me. Thank you for your grace that continues to cleanse and to hold me up. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your adoption into your family. In Jesus' name, amen.